Reading out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And verse number 3. This is a very simple and yet very well-known parable that the Lord Jesus told. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now back to the Gospel of John, where Mr. Ramsey was reading, and this time chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And we'll read verse number 10. Verse 9 was read last night. Tonight we're going to read verse 10. John 10 and 10. The words of the Lord Jesus when he said, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. Again he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one flock, and one shepherd. Finally, verse 27, same chapter. Verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We've been hearing about what a Christian is. The person who receives Christ. Can I give you another angle to that? What is a Christian? Christian is one who's been found by the Good Shepherd. That's saying the same truth, just coming from a little different angle. And so tonight, I want to look at this lovely statement. To me, it's one of the sweetest claims of the Lord Jesus that he ever spoke when he said, I am the good shepherd. I wonder, do you know him? That hymn that I mentioned last night, and we love to sing it, Amazing Grace. It's really quite a hymn. Written not out of theory, but it was written out of experience. And that first verse is so clear when John Newton, many, many years ago, and if you go to Olney, England, you can actually go to his grave and you'll see some wonderful words on that grave. But John Newton one day picked up his pen and he wrote these words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now listen to this. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see, period. So that every person who is a Christian was once lost. They found that out. And they became a Christian when they were found by the Good Shepherd. They were once blind in darkness, but they were brought to the light through the Good Shepherd. And every single individual that is going to heaven, that is a real Christian, can tell you of that great moment. Once in our sins, once lost. But oh, when the Shepherd found us, what a great moment that is. And friend, if that has never happened in your life, this would be a great Monday night, election night. May the 2nd, is it? This would be a great night. If you were to discover, number one, I'm lost. And number two, the Good Shepherd is seeking for me, and you might receive him as your Savior. I want to speak. I want to just tell you four wonderful things about this Good Shepherd. In fact, the claim of the Lord Jesus, there are really a number of statements. Mr. Ramsey read verse 9 last night, and it's another of the I ams of the Lord Jesus when he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You could read in John's Gospel, and you'd read, I am the true bread. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection of the life. I am the true vine, and so on. All of these momentous claims, the I ams of the Lord Jesus. There's seven of them. What do they tell us? Have you ever asked yourself, what really is God like? I mean, there's all kinds of ideas as to what God is like. Some of them are very negative. Some of them are very false. Some of them are really far out. You know how we're going to find out who God is, what God is really like? By looking at his Son. By looking into this word, by listening to his claims. And one of the claims he made is, I am the good shepherd. You know what amazes me is that one of the first world rulers in the history of this world was a man by the name of Nimrod. Genesis chapter 10, Nimrod was one of the first world kings, were the first world emperors. It says he was a mighty man. But you know what marked him? He was a hunter. He was a hunter. Now, I'm not a hunter. And if there's hunters in the audience, bear with me. But I think I know one thing about hunters. They don't have an awful lot of mercy in them. When they see an animal, if they're hunting, they're going to pull the trigger. They want to get that animal down. No mercy, no grace. He was a hunter. But you know, when God chose the first king for Israel, you know what he was like? He was a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't pull the trigger very quickly. A shepherd sympathizes with the sheep. And here we are in John chapter 10, and we're coming to one of the statements of the Lord Jesus when he says, I am the good shepherd. I wonder, do you know him? Has he found you? Because what I'd like to just tell you very simply tonight is that this is a good shepherd who is seeking. The good shepherd seeks. We have read in Luke chapter 15 about that simple story the Lord Jesus told about a shepherd. He had 100 sheep. And perhaps it was nighttime. We're not really told, but there was a moment in the course of a day when maybe he was counting the sheep. Maybe he was gathering them into a fold. Maybe he was looking around at their welfare. And perhaps he was counting them, 96, 97, 98, come on, 99. And in that moment he made a discovery. There was one missing. Now he had 99. He'd only lost one. And that man could easily have said, well, now, One out of 100 is not too bad. I won't worry about that little sheep. I've got 99. But not a real shepherd. And in Luke chapter 15, we're made aware that when that shepherd made that discovery, he set out to seek for that sheep which was lost. And he didn't go for 1 hour and say, well, that's long enough. I'm going home. You know what it says? He sought for that sheep until he found it. That's a real shepherd. As you know, that is the shepherd of John chapter 10. Do you know tonight that there is a tremendous search going on? Yesterday the world was given some very, very alarming news. One of the longest manhunts likely in history, as far as the prominence of the man, finally came to a conclusion. Osama bin Laden was dead. Almost went on for 10 years. I can remember picking up Time magazine on that cover. were these words, Osama bin Laden, why can't we find him? And for 10 years, there were those that were on his trail trying to find out where he is. They finally solved it. But tonight, there's a far greater manhunt on the go. And this manhunt is not with a gun. This is a search with grace. It's not to bring a man down. It's that sinners lost in their sins might be blessed and rescued and reached and saved. And tonight I look back to the dealings of God when he searched for me. And he didn't give up after one day. Oh, he kept searching for me. He kept calling me. He kept following me. In fact, the Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You might not even be aware of it. You might not even think about it. But there is a tremendous search on tonight. The Good Shepherd is seeking for you. And I'll tell you why. Why would he be seeking for you? The Good Shepherd is seeking for individuals lost in their sins because, very simply, we're not seeking him. We're not seeking him, naturally speaking. In fact, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that simply means that our back is to God. Our back is the Good Shepherd. We're going our way. We're going to do our thing. We don't want him in our life. We don't want to get cramped in our lifestyle. At least that was the language of my heart for almost 22 years. I had no interest in finding this Good Shepherd because I didn't realize I was lost. But he's seeking for us because we're not seeking for him. But I'll tell you something else why he's seeking for you. He knows where you're going. He knows the road you're on. In fact, Matthew chapter 7 tells us that there are two roads in this world. There is a broad road that leads down to destruction. There is a narrow road that leads to heaven, leads to life. And every single one in this Monday night meeting is on one of those two roads. Broad road leads downward. Narrow road leads upward. And where those two roads converge, there is a door, to use the image. There is a Savior. But sadly, if a person doesn't know Christ, if a person has never been found, if a person has never received him, they're on the wrong road. And as this shepherd follows the pathway of the sheep, he knows he's heading for eternal destruction. You know, the Bible tells us God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. And so this shepherd came. And he came seeking lost sinners because he knows where they are headed and his heart is moved with compassion, moved with grace, moved with love. Because he doesn't want anyone to lose their soul in hell. He's seeking for us because he loves us. We mean a lot to him. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you have no value. In fact, we only have to look at the cross to understand how precious our souls really are. Oh, we are unprofitable to God. Romans 3 tells us that. We have not brought glory to God, living for self. But the soul of every individual is absolutely precious to God. And that's why this shepherd is seeking for you. That's what thrills me tonight, to be able to tell about a shepherd who is still seeking for lost souls. You know, it's amazing. When I come to a new place like Kamloops, first time here in the city, for any length of time, invariably, I'm able to speak to some souls that have been found by the shepherd. I said, "Now, how did he find you?" Do you know something? Every story is different. Some were young, some were a little further down the road. Some heard the gospel, some only heard the gospel maybe once or twice. Every story is different. And I recall one night in a tent many, many miles from here, we were having tent services in the middle of summer in New Hampshire in the USA. Every meeting was different. There were various folk that were coming through. And one night there was a young man, he was like 25, that came in. But you know, when you're looking at an audience, sometimes you catch people's eyes and you say, well, they're listening, they're following. And, you know, this man was nodding, and I thought, well, he's understanding the message. So at the end of the service, we went to the back of the tent to shake hands with the folk that came. And I said to him, it's great to see you. I said, did you understand the message? He said, I did. So I ventured a bit more, and I said, now, are you saved? He says, I am. So I asked him another question. I said, how did you get saved? Well, he said, you might not believe this. But he says, I got saved in the bathroom of a Greyhound bus heading west. Well, I have never heard that before. I've heard of people getting saved in their bathtub. And I've met people and they've got saved in their car. And some have been saved in a meeting like this. And I was saved in a bedroom, in a boarding house. Never in a bathroom in a Greyhound bus going west. I said, well, you got to tell me about this one. I'll just give you the shortened version. He grew up in a home where he heard the gospel. He didn't want it. He says, enough of this. And from the Midwest, he went west. Right down to, I don't know, Oregon, California. Worked for a bit. And wouldn't you know it, the man who hired him was a Christian. And somewhere along the line, he began to speak to this young man about getting saved, about his need for salvation. And he finally says, enough of this. And he crossed the continent and went over to Florida. Got another job. And one of the fellows he was working with was a Christian. Began to speak to him about getting saved. He says, enough of this. Came back to the Midwest. Happened again. He said, maybe I'll try it again. So he got on a bus heading west. And as that bus was rumbling down the road, he went to the back of the bus to use the bathroom, stepped into that little narrow space, and right there on the little bit of a counter, there was a couple of gospel tracts. And he thought to himself, I can't outrun God. And he said, right there, I just called a halt. I says, oh God, I'm lost. And he received the shepherd there. He received Christ. I wonder, has there been a moment? Has there been a place along the road of life when the shepherd found you? If you say, sir, that's never happened to me. Perhaps you've never understood that you're lost. Maybe you think, I'm doing the best I can. Maybe you think, I'm a good churchgoer. Maybe you're convinced that, you know, if you do the best you can, well, somehow it'll all work out. God says, we're lost. We're lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's only when I understood and when I accepted and when I bowed to the fact, Marvin, you're lost. It was only then that I needed a shepherd. It was only then that I discovered I need to be saved. And this good shepherd is still seeking for lost sinners, for lost individuals. And tonight, if you're in this Monday night meeting and you have never had a moment when you found Christ as your shepherd, as your Savior, then friend, I can tell you with absolute authority and absolute confidence, he is seeking for you personally. But there's something else about this shepherd I have to tell you. His time is gone. He is seeking, but this good shepherd sacrifices. Do you remember what we read? He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. Now don't miss this. For the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, when I read that statement, there is no equality there. I have often thought, if that statement says, I am the good shepherd gives his life for other shepherds. I could understand that. There are parents here. And if there was a fire raging through our house, through your home, I'm convinced there would be parents here and they'd be willing to give their life to rescue one of their own children. That's the strength of a parent's heart. That's the strength of a parent's love, because they belong to him, them. There's equality there. They're our family. But a shepherd giving his life for sheep? Is it worth it? Understand the context here. This wondrous shepherd is God in human flesh. This is the one who had no beginning and who had no end. This is the one who stepped into his own creation by a virgin birth. He became one of us. But oh, he was so unique. He was a real man, but he was God in human flesh. Never a person like him. He stands supreme above everybody else. And yet the Bible says his delights were with the sons of men. Sometimes when I'm in an airplane, I look down at the little place I've left, or some of the big cities. I look at the little cars, and they're just like little dinky toys. And I realize in those cars, every single one of them, there's a person. And they just seem so small. And yet I'm made aware that the mighty God who inhabits eternity, he knows and he loves every single individual, though we're just like ants. And the truth of John chapter 10 is that this is a good shepherd who actually was willing to lay down his life for lost sheep. That takes me to Calvary. That takes me to the cross, where the Lord Jesus willingly, oh yes, he was arrested. And oh yes, he was condemned. And he was punched. And he was bruised. And he was maligned. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But you know, this shepherd could say, no man takes my life from me. Beyond all that we did to this shepherd, beyond all that we did to the Lord Jesus, he was in absolute and perfect control. And there at the place called Calvary, he laid down his life for the sheep. What a sacrifice. What a tremendous price paid. Precious blood was shed. What he suffered for our sins. And when I look at Calvary, I'm able to say, my, the Son of God, he loved me so much, he was actually willing to give himself for me. The sacrifice was costly. The sacrifice was real. The sacrifice was personal. The sacrifice involved death. He didn't risk his life. He gave his life. And tonight, that tremendous work required to bring lost sheep back to God. That tremendous work that was required that we might be brought into the very family of God was done in full at the cross. And tonight, as we've been hearing, I'm able to say my passport to the realms of bliss is this great truth. The Good Shepherd gave his life for me. Christ died for my sins. I wonder, have you come to know the Shepherd? He seeks. He sacrifices. I want to tell you one more thing. I said four, I'll stop at three. This Good Shepherd secures. Secures. Because you see, when he, in Luke 15, when he picks up that little sheep, lost, I don't know what condition that sheep was in. But when that shepherd stooped down and grabbed a hold of that sheep, he didn't give it a good kick. Get hold. Oh, no, not the good shepherd. He picked up that sheep, put it on his shoulders, and all the way home. Who was holding on to who? He was holding on to the sheep. And tonight, I trust you'll understand that salvation is not my trying to hold on to God. I couldn't do it. Any more than if Noah, remember Noah, the boat builder? After he'd finished that big boat, suppose God would have said, "Now, Noah, you've done a great job, but I want you to take 8 big long spikes and pound them into the outside of that boat. Give about 3 feet between nails, put them in, leave a good part out." And when Noah had put those 8 nails in, God would have said, "Now, there they are. As long as you can hold on, you'll be saved." And we would see 8 people holding on to the side of that big boat. I wouldn't last a minute. Couldn't do it. That's not salvation. Not at all. The call was, "Noah, come in. Come into the ark, thou and all thy house." And when those 8 feeble sinners walked up that gangplank, God shut the door. Ah, the salvation which this shepherd gives is a secure salvation. "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and I know them, and they follow me." He says, "I know my sheep, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's the strength of his security. Oh, it doesn't lead to carelessness of living, not at all. A true Christian, a true believer, a sinner saved by grace, appreciates the grace of God, and now we want to live for the glory of our shepherd. He secures. And tonight, he is offering you an eternal salvation, saved for time and for all eternity. That's why you can say, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he gives us everlasting life. Would you tonight personally receive the shepherd? You're lost. You're in danger of losing your soul in hell forever. But he's come. And as we're reminded, as many as receive him, it's to them that he gives the authority to become part of the very, I was going to say flock of the family of God, even to them that believe on his name.